For the health of it, let's go to the telephone line and introduce my my colleague, my good friend, Jason Bell. He's our sales executive, and he's going to introduce the main person for the program. Jason, good evening to you.
You very excited, man.
But strong, man. Young and strong. Young and strong.
You're so young and strong that your tongue right in the head of your brain.
Well, how you doing?
I'm grateful, man. Good to hear you. Good to hear you.
Good to hear you too, man.
Yes, indeed. So, yeah, for the health of it, in association with the Diabetes Association of Barbados, live on VOB 92.9, VOB929.com, and Ken, whenever you can't, if you can't tune in, you can tune in to VOB929.com/for the health of it and listen via podcast.
Ah, aware, that's good. That's good. That's good. I tell you.
Are you aware, Ken? Are you aware, Ken?
I'm aware now.
And an internationally accredited program, if you please.
Very
this
good.
Program has been requested, and presumably has been set by the World Diabetes Foundation. I'll let Trudy, our esteemed co-host, speak about it a little bit more. I might have gone the organization around, but Trudy, are you there? Tell us a little bit more about
it. I'm here. Good evening, Ken. Good evening, Jason.
Hey, what's up? So, tell us a little bit more about...
For those listeners who tuned in last week,
we
were focused on COVID.
No, we're a little mixed up here. Hold on. Trudy, we have you with us?
Hi, good evening.
And Jason, is there a third person on the line?
I hear a female voice on the line. Is that Jason?
Yes, are you on the line?
And this third person is?
Is this a caller?
Hello?
This is the caller.
You're speaking to me?
Yeah, what is your name, ma'am?
Oh, Gwenny. My birthday is mine. I called for Larry yesterday. He's the 30 answer, but I wanted to put over him to put it over for me tomorrow.
That's all right, dear.
Well, happy birthday in advance.
And I want him to play my birthday song, April Love.
April Love. Okay. All right.
You can play for me tonight. I wanted to play for the balance of the week. The month. Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thank you. Well, that was awesome.
That was good.
Is what you call an intentional comedy. I love it.
Go ahead. Judy, we're sorry with that, but...
that's okay. I was actually going to say that she's a little bit ahead of us because we're coming up on the association's anniversary. And I haven't even thought about a song as yet, but I'll have to think of one now.
Okay, there.
I assume Ice Cream by Rupee is not a good song, right?
No comment, Jason.
Anyway, tell us about the episode that we did last week. I thought it was one of our best in the series thus far. And please let us know what you have heard from your partners overseas.
Okay, so last week we would have focused on COVID-19 as it relates to diabetes, and that has caught the attention of the International Diabetes Federation. So I've actually sent the podcast up to them via email so that they can take a listen to the show that we had last week.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
That is tremendous.
Go ahead, you're on, your mic is on live. Go ahead.
Let's continue to make this international quality programming then. Let's continue. Exactly. What are we talking about?
Because
this
I've been pushing it across the region. It's reached Belgium. Imagine that. Ooh. So therefore, it's reaching far away. I've been promoting it across the UK. So therefore, for those of our listeners who are tuning in, we're trying to get the information not just across the length and breadth of Barbados, but the message we're taking is applicable right across the world.
Now, I have to caution you, both of you, as I have been more than once, is we tend to forget our people in the Caribbean. We leave Barbados and we go to England and Germany, America, and then but forgetting that there are people in Trinidad and St. Lucia and Antigua and Grenada that are listening to us and want to connect with us. So, with all of your doings, remember our Caribbean brothers and sisters. Okay, Jason, Judy?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
So therefore, for those persons who want to join us, whether you want to call in or you want to send in your comments via WhatsApp, you can call at our area code is 246 followed by 434-1790, or you can WhatsApp in at 246 266-4862.
Okay.
For VOD.
Yes. Keep going. All right. I'm with you. Keep going.
So today, therefore, this evening,
we want to turn our attention right back to something that we started with, because we've already touched the topics of being diagnosed with diabetes. We've also looked at the social support that you would need, and we talked about the regions that we have and the support groups that we have within the association. But I actually want to focus this evening on the psychological component of being diagnosed with diabetes, even as it relates to COVID-19 and diabetes, because that's also a hot topic these days. And then we want to reference a topic a number of weeks ago, which is diabetes distress. Diabetes distress.
Okay.
It's a term that we're going to put in our glossary, but we're going to explore it in a little bit more detail this evening.
Okay.
So where I want to start us this evening is to talk about wellness. Because when we hear about diabetes, we know diabetes affects the body. And therefore, a lot of persons focus on what do I need to keep myself healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But I want persons to appreciate that health is not just about your body. There are different components that you have to look at. So the social, the psychological, the spiritual, the environmental, occupational, intellectual, and cultural dimensions all contribute to your state of wellness and well-being. And this has actually been acknowledged by the World Health Organization since 1964, because their definition encompasses those different dimensions of wellness. So, in Barbados, we have a national workplace wellness policy. Ken, have you heard of that before?
No, please. Go ahead.
You have not?
No.
Jason,
I have, though.
Have you?
I have.
Jason keeps his ears to the ground.
But, Ken, I thought you said a few minutes ago you were young.
But I don't keep my ears to the ground.
I'm disappointed.
It's all right. You take me.
Oh, my word.
You flog me now. I will wait for you in about 20 minutes or so. I will wait.
No problem.
It's a nine-dimensional policy. You mentioned all the policies.
There are different models, but the ones that was used for the development of the National Workplace Wellness Policy that we have for Barbados actually uses 8 dimensions of wellness.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what. I was privileged enough last year to be introduced to one of the creators of the policy, Dr. Devinish. And it is a fantastic document that I fear may gather dust, but I'd be happy for us to really roll this up on a national level.
But that is the reason why it was designed and created the way it was, because you don't want it to be a policy document that sits on a shelf. We recognize that over the years we've been emphasizing that persons need to take personal responsibility for their health and their well-being, but we recognize that the employer also has as equal a responsibility to make sure that you're taking care of your health. So that workplace wellness policy is a collaboration between you and your employer to make sure that you're looking after yourself properly.
Ken, I think we have a workplace wellness policy, and it may not be well known, but I certainly practice aspects of it in the workplace. And I won't ask to comment on that in this forum. We will do that off air, but it is really important for us as workers and as managers of businesses throughout this country to pay attention to the health of our primary resource, which is our human resource.
I don't understand what you're talking about, Jason.
You
say that I want you to really give him 10 seconds to repeat what he says.
I said, sir, that we at Starcom Network Incorporated, VOB 92.9 FM, is but one station of 4, have a workplace wellness policy. There's even a committee.
But you know that I went into the cafeteria before I came in the studio. So I will know. You haven't said that. I will assume that I've missed a lot of the things, the steaks and the fish and the fish, you know, the steaks of fish and steaks of whatever else. And all them things, I can go look for them, you know, in the bottles of wine, and I can go look carefully.
Wine is good for the worms, but that, I'm not
no,
sure.
No. I get it.
Trudy, save us.
I will save you. I will save you, Jason.
I get it.
One
for
of
all
the things
big
that
thing.
We did following what last is show is that we posed a question to the public of that day.
Ah, yes.
Yes.
I believe I saw the question on the Instagram page.
Yes, it was on the Instagram page. It would have been across our digital platform. And we posed that question and the answer. Do you think that living with diabetes has a psychological impact on your daily life, including work, school, relationships, and self-management? Now, we would have opened that question of the week near the end of last week. We would have closed it off last night. And based on the responses that we got, that is going to create that platform for us to really talk about this topic today. So of the persons who responded, 84.4% of them said, yes, it does have a psychological impact on your daily life.
Right.
Only 11% said no, and 2% said maybe.
Right.
So now that we've shared those results with the listening public across the length and breadth of Barbados, across the entire Caribbean Sea, right, Ken?
Yes.
And those who are listening beyond the seas of the Caribbean, that paves the way for us to introduce our guest this evening, Miss Janita Waith.
Mm-hmm.
Janita is a health psychologist. So therefore, because we're talking about the psychological impact of diabetes, this is an area that she can speak about from a very robust base of knowledge. So,
welcome,
Janita, are you with us?
Keep going.
Janita is not with us?
She's going to be with us in seconds.
She's going to be with us in seconds. Okay, no problem. So, therefore, based on what the respondent said, this creates an avenue for us to talk about what happens when you're diagnosed with diabetes, the stress you may feel and how you respond and how you cope in these COVID-19 times. And they were going to explore that term, Jason, called diabetes distress.
Before you call Jason's name again, you've called it too many times for the evening, please call the name of Janita.
Janita. Hi, good night, everyone.
Hello.
Hi, Jane, how are you doing?
I am well. How are you doing, Jason?
I'm grateful, thank you. I will reserve that honorific for her because we are old friends.
Honorific. That's all right. Go along, man. Go ahead. For the health of it on Voice of Barbados on a Tuesday evening. Keep going.
Right. So Janita, we were just talking about the survey that we would have conducted and of the respondents. To the question, do you think that diabetes has a psychological impact on your life, school life, work, relationships, and even your self-management? We would have had 84% saying yes. We would have had 11% saying no. And 2% said maybe. So based on what you've been doing across the length and breadth of Barbados, do you think that those results reflect what is happening across Barbados?
I believe so because, you know, the thing about assessing our own psychological well-being is that sometimes we are not in the best place to do so. You know, sometimes we are not even aware of how something is impacting on us. I can even kind of extend that to what we're going through now. Many persons know something is up, but they are not able to label it or to say exactly how they're feeling. So sometimes when we're going through something like a chronic illness like diabetes, we might not even be aware of the immensity or how much it impacts our psychological well-being.
I can certainly attest to that because there are persons who've been contacting me and they've been saying their blood sugar is not as controlled as it is normally. And beyond that, persons are also reporting that their blood pressures are not well controlled, even though before their blood pressures would have been within normal range. So the stress that persons are going through now, they don't even recognize it as a stress on their body, on their mind, and what it's doing to them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think sometimes we kind of divorce our physical health from our mental health. And if we look at ourselves in a mirror, we're not two separate beings. We're just one being. And every part of us interacts with every other part of us. So when something is happening to us at an emotional level or a mental level, it has a direct impact on our physical health. In fact, they're not two separate systems that are operating. It's just one whole system that evidences itself in different ways. So, of course, stress is a big, big impact, has a big impact on any chronic illness, particularly on diabetes and our ability to control our levels, our insulin levels, our, you know, it just our ability to control those things. We find that we have to kind of do a little bit more or do something a little different to kind of address the impact that stress would have.
So, Janita, question. Do you think that persons, when they're diagnosed, they go through a period of denial when they say, no, it is not so, no, I don't believe it, no, I'm not going to do anything about it, because to do something about this means that I'm acknowledging that I have diabetes?
Yeah, I think just coming to terms with that change, just by itself, any change that we have to go through kind of brings about senses of shock and denial. Even change that we want, furthermore, something like a diabetes diagnosis, even change that we prepare for can have senses of denial and shock. So, of course, persons tend to be in denial. Of course, persons tend to be in shock. They tend to be kind of trying to figure out their identity again because, you know, here I am. I saw myself as one thing before. I know I kind of have a different way that I need to look at myself. And that's really troubling for most persons.
Okay. So what would you recommend that persons do if they're going through those sorts of feelings? Should they speak to someone else? Should they speak to a professional? What would you recommend?
In terms of coping, it's really about breaking down things into small chunks. Right now, especially for those persons who find that their numbers aren't as normal, they normally are on top of things, and now things are out of whack, recognize, first of all, and acknowledge where you're at. Just pause and realize, look, there's a lot on my mind, and it's not just me. There's a collective anxiety that all of us kind of are facing. There's a collective stress. We see it coming out in just the way that we talk, the way that we spend our time, even in our sleep. A lot of people are talking about having weird dreams. All of that is a product of that collective anxiety. So we have to acknowledge that first. Then we have to recognize, look, I need to probably just focus on now. Focus on today. Focus on tomorrow. Focus on this week. Break down things into small chunks. Probably not think too far ahead, but just be really focused on the present and feeling some sense of accomplishment and control in the things that I can control right now.
Those are some powerful points.
Powerful points. Really, really, really powerful. I was wondering if Jason, did you pay attention?
Absolutely. And good, I was about to say that one of the things that I heard, you see these videos online sometimes, but this one I actually incorporate in my daily practice. I've got a list of things that I do. I call it a daily dozen because there's literally 12 things that I need to do to consider my day complete. And the first thing I do is make my bed when I get out of bed. Make my bed. So if everything else goes to pop during the course of the day,
as if somebody wants to hear that.
No, I'm not saying it to impress anyone. I'm saying it because it's good for my mental health. And therefore, for the health of it, I want to recommend that for get up in the morning and do your regular hygiene. You know, brush your teeth, get in the shower, get ready for work, even if you're working from home or even if you're not working. Get in your mind frame in a positive mindset. You know, do your exercise, check your blood sugar, do your regular hygiene and health things. For me, making my bed helps me to recognize that if everything else goes to pot, as I said, at least I would have done one thing for the day. And that gives me a sense of accomplishment and confidence that tomorrow will be better.
Yeah.
Very well said, yeah. Jason. Very well said, Jason.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Jason, I want to share this with you. And I'm saying Jason specifically, right? Right. So this term, diabetes distress, it is defined as the emotional burden of living with and managing diabetes.
Right.
So it can happen if you've been diagnosed 6 months ago. It can happen if you've been diagnosed 25 years ago. You go through a period where you start to feel overwhelmed and that you think that you're not doing things right because your blood sugars are not controlled. You may be worried that there are long-term complications that may develop because your blood sugars are not controlled. And therefore, you can get frustrated and worried and anxious and all those emotions bubbling up that Janita has talked about it in over the past few minutes. And you may even feel guilty. So therefore, persons may reach a point where they say, you know what, that's it. Nothing I'm doing is working, so therefore, let me just stop.
And that is
something that we need to be on the alert for.
Yes. Janita alluded to it. There seems to be a collective, I don't know if it's the word, right? And Janita will correct me. And it does seem to be a collective psychosis or collective anxiety amongst the nation because we are all seeing the news, we're all seeing the forward, we're all seeing the devastation being wrought by this pandemic. And more importantly, the anxiety, even in our local context where, you know, you hear two reports here, one report there, a possible infestation here and there, and it freaks people out. And then they have this condition that they're living in. They're trying to deal with it. A friend just alluded to me and my WhatsApp personally that stress levels can raise. Well, she asked, and I can declaratively answer that stress levels can raise your blood sugar. If your blood sugar is kind of falls out control as a result of all the stress you're experiencing, you could get to the point where you just throw up your hands. I say, you know what, I'm done. I can't deal with this anymore.
Yeah.
And that's diabetes distress, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's that sense of feeling like you have no control, like you have no power. You know, it's really important for the human being to feel like they have some sense of power. And when you have been doing something and being successful at doing something and then all your efforts seem to be in vain, that sense of powerlessness will rise up. And it's bad enough that what we're going through affects our motivation directly. It's bad enough it affects our moods. So it's almost as if you have like a triple whammy. You know, you're already dealing with something that you've had to grieve, that you've had to deal with the loss of different things. And then you have kind of added to this sense of powerlessness in the situation. Unfortunately, we know diabetes kind of is one of those things that makes this condition worse for persons and having serious complications. And then on top of that, the anxiety that we're feeling is making us feel less motivated. So you're less motivated to do your self-care. You're less motivated to do your checks. You're less motivated to do the things you're supposed to do. And then your mood is a little depressed, but then you're still worried.
Right.
It's a whole cacophony of things.
Because for the average person, I mean, okay, fine, not getting to the supermarket for groceries when the initial for your name, you know, is scheduled, it might be okay, fine, I can live without until, you know, the next day. But for someone who is living with diabetes and maybe on insulin, you absolutely need to be able to manage what you're eating. And therefore, the stress of not being able to access food and vegetables and fruits and so on can be quite overwhelming.
So what is the solution, ladies and gentlemen? That's an open question.
You need to get back a sense of control.
Yes.
You need to get back a sense of control. And that may require you talking to somebody.
Yeah.
Mm.
Because somebody may offer you a different perspective that you couldn't see. But Janita can explore that a little bit more.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Janita. You got 4 more minutes. Take all.
Nope.
I have 4 more minutes for you. Take all. Don't give them none. Go right ahead.
Oh dear. No, you're absolutely right. That idea of connecting with people, sometimes it is not until we talk to someone that we really understand how we are feeling. Just saying things outside of our head gives us a sense of control, allows us to feel like we're managing it a little better, gives us a understanding of how to kind of organize our thoughts. And that idea of communicating your expectations to people, communicating your fears, your worries, because sometimes it's not till we communicate that we realize, hey, there are resources here that can't help me. And I think sometimes we don't like to ask for help. And I think this season that we are in is about realizing, look, sometimes I can't do it on my own. Sometimes I can't manage it on my own. I need to ask for help. I need to connect, whether it be for instrumental support, which is people helping me with stuff and things that I need, or emotional support. I need to ask for help. I need to ask people to assist me with my self-care, to remind me of things, to eat the things that I'm eating so it makes it a little more easy for me, to exercise with me. I need that support now. And I think that is really critical.
And speaking of help, Janita, how can folks reach out to you or to others in your field for that much needed help? And Trudy, I'll let you follow on after Janita shares.
No problem.
For those who are particularly living with diabetes, how can they reach out for help so they can avoid diabetes distress?
Well, for me personally, I work at Network Services Center. Most persons know us for our crisis response. But we have relationships with organizations across Barbados and the Caribbean where we provide support for the employees and families. But outside of that, my area is in clinical and health psychology, and I do have clients who have chronic illnesses that they are coping with, and that's stuff that we talk about, because the reality is what a person with a chronic illness goes through, a lot of other people don't understand. And sometimes you need that professional to talk to, or someone who's been there.
Give us a little example. Give us a little example, please.
Okay. One of the things that is very frustrating for persons with chronic illnesses is dealing with their relationships. When you develop a chronic illness, you have to change. It's bad enough, you have to change. But a lot of times, persons still have the same expectations they had before you had this diagnosis, or before things change in your life. They expect you to act the same, be the same, respond the same, have the same levels of energy, for instance, have the same appetite, you know, and that can become very frustrating when the persons closest to you don't seem to understand what you're going through and how difficult it is. Mm. When they put these expectations on you, and sometimes just coming to counseling or talking to a professional or even someone else who's been through it can help you talk and communicate in the best way without, you know, barking off people's head, but helps you communicate to your loved ones, look, this is what I'm going through. This is what's happening. Let me help you understand what is going on with me.
Okay.
How can they make contact with you, Jean? And how can they make contact with DAB?
Right. So I am at Network Services Center. Our numbers are 228-7773. But if you look us up, you'll find us. We're also on Instagram and Facebook. So if you look for Network Services Center, you'll find us on social media as well.
Excellent. And Trudy?
Yeah. So one of the things that we focus on at the association is psychological support. So we offer that for our children and young adults who are diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. And we also offer one-on-one or family counseling for adults who have been diagnosed with diabetes. So one of the things that you can do to reach out to us is you can call our numbers. And what we've been able to do since last week is that we have put in place call forwarding services. So you can call our numbers like normal, which is 937-228-9338 or 437-2285. you can reach us via those landline numbers, and they'll be forwarded to our mobile phone. So you can also call the mobile phone directly, which is 230-2975.
230-2975.
That is correct.
Okay.
You can also reach out to us on our website. You can reach out to us on Facebook, or you can reach out to us on Instagram. We are monitoring all of our platforms. So however you choose to reach out to us and you want to get in contact with us, we are there, ready, and willing to respond.
And for that, we are grateful. You've been listening to For the Health of It, brought to you in association with the Diabetes Association of Barbados. The lovely voice you heard before mine was Ms. Cody Griffiths. She's the president of the Diabetes Association of Barbados. And the other lovely voice that you heard before, and I don't mean Ken, I mean Janita Witt, Ms. Janita Witt, health psychologist with Network Services, 228-7773. That's your free plug right there. I'm Jason Bell, and I don't know if we're out of time, Ken. I hope we're not.
We are out of time, yes. I gave you as many as 3 minutes extra.
This half hour, absolutely. I know we say it all the time, but this half hour really flies along.
Really,
so we really encourage our listeners to follow us on vob929.com/for the health of it and listen to this episode. Get in contact with the Diabetes Association, and be sure to tune in next time for the health of it.